In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God.
Christ is in our midst.
He is, ever shall be.
Beloved ones, blessings, first of all, on the Feast of the Nativity of the Theotokos of the Mother of God. So even if you weren't here yesterday, we continue the feast for a week. So many blessings, and that's what I'm going to be talking about this morning. Not necessarily her feast, her nativity, although that's an incredible story too. But yesterday, during the reading of the Holy Gospel, believe it or not, on the feast day, I was struck in the midst of the great joy of Sam, Petra's baptism. You know, even with all of that, I was struck by a line in the Gospel, which I've heard like a million times. And this Gospel is celebrated on all the feasts of the Theotokos, at every liturgy where we do a feast, even a minor feast of the Theotokos. It is the Gospel that begins, you know, the one with Martha and Mary, where Christ speaks to Martha about how her sister Mary has chosen the greater part or the better way, something like this. But what struck me was the second part, you know? And you hear it over and over again. And then it hit yesterday. Almost as if I heard it for the first time, and maybe you'll hear it a new way. The woman cries out, you know, out of the crowd. She says, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you." Blessed, you know, blessed is your mother, your biological mother, basically. And we've heard it, like I said, a million times. But it is Christ's response that is so penetrating, so striking. He says, well, it depends on the translation. I'll talk about that. "Blessed indeed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Blessed indeed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Now, there is another translation. It's a bad translation. It's the Protestant translation, and it's rather blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. It comes from the Greek word manun. I had a Greek theologian linguist talk about this to me one time. He said, the word in Greek manun can be translated like lots of different ways depending on the shade of meaning. So listen to the difference. This is a good kind of teaching point anyway. Listen to the difference. Blessed indeed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Meaning his mother is absolutely blessed. She's keeping the word of God. Or, yea, rather, and manun can mean both, indeed or rather, believe it or not. Yea, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Like kind of pushing his mother onto that outside, you know, group of people. It's a big interpretation that was written in to the King James, actually. You know, when they wrote that, they decided, guess what, to choose to translate manun that way instead. So that's an interesting little, teaching point. But no matter how we translate this, and this is the point, the conclusion about biological family is the same. Christ distinguishes those who hear the word of God and keep it. And our biological family, you know, the family you were born into, may or may not do that. It's just a sad reality, and that's what struck me. They may or may not include our biological families when he says that. So, you know, and that's what turns on that translation, isn't it? Like, yes, if they are keeping the word of God, you know, they're my family. If they're not keeping the word of God, then go with the Protestant translation, I guess. They may or may not be part of our family. I'm going to let that sink in because it's heavy. In another place, Christ says, and we just read this gospel last week, "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. I've come to bring enmity between mother and daughter, father and son, brother and sister, even husband and wife." Lord have mercy. It's not that Christ comes and puts a sword in your hand. He puts the gospel in your hand, and then the sword is raised against it a million times. So this is our reality. As I ponder, let me ponder the people here gathered, you know? So I know your situations. I know many of you have converted into the church as adults, right? And when you converted into the church, there was all this great joy and enthusiasm and emotion, and you hoped that it would spill over, right? Maybe onto your parents if you're young, or maybe onto your, you know, spouse, or maybe onto your children if they were already grown, you know, or mostly grown. We had so much joy, well, we still do, but we had joy for them as well. Like, let me share this with you. Oh my gosh. How many times in my little history of bringing people into the church did a family say, oh, we have so many people who are going to come with us, come into the church with us, they're going to join with us, you know? And I can, you know, go through the names and then after a while, I started like just shaking my head and saying, okay, try. You know, try to bring your family in. Try to inspire them. Try to, and we have to. You must. You have to be that person, you know, that Christian person, no matter what. But then always, like, not always, but many times, they would say, well, you know, it seems like our relationship has changed now since I've become an Orthodox Christian. Well, let me explain what that means to become an Orthodox Christian. It doesn't just mean that one day you go to the Methodist church, you know, on one side of the street, and then you cross over and you go to another church. It means that when I became Orthodox, something deeper changed. I don't know what it is. Well, I do know what it is. My whole way of life. That's what it is. But I don't know how that looks oftentimes when I first come into the church. And then other people see it maybe faster than I do. We're just so filled with joy. We have so much like enthusiasm and love for Christ. And we hear the gospel sometimes, like me hearing this one for the first time almost, in a new way. We hear it in a fresh way. We hear it in a glorious new way. I say, wow, that has something to actually say to my life. That could speak to the way I live. And then, my gosh, we hear all the lives of the saints. And that could certainly speak to the way I live. I could choose a saint like that because I feel a closeness to that saint. That's the saint who lives the way I would like to live, or who has struggles the same as mine, right? And then the teaching of the theology and all the rest of it. And we just keep getting, little by little, more and more interested, in the spiritual life. More and more involved in the spiritual life. A little deeper. And you know, look what happens. When we do that, a sword comes out. A lot of times, a sword comes out. And it could come in the form, many forms. It could come in the form of like, just, I'm not talking to that friend anymore. I don't know why. They just seem to not answer the phone when I call. You know, and they just seem not interested in coming to be with me. Or it could come as strongly as in the form of like a family member saying, you are, have changed. Right? What an understatement that is. You have changed. But sometimes they'll even say, you are being influenced. You are being manipulated. You are being like, this church is doing something to you. Oh my gosh. Why would anybody ever want to be in a church that doesn't do something to them? That doesn't affect them on a deep level, you know? So is that the idea of what American church life is? Go to church, but look, just keep it there and keep your same relationship with us, which is like mediocre. Now, we have a choice to make. Now we have a choice to make. Blessed, Christ says, blessed indeed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That's my family. And I've told a lot of you here, and many who aren't here too today, this is your family. When I see the tears that you cry because you know your parents aren't talking to you anymore, or your children aren't speaking to you anymore, when I see those tears, you know, like, I have to go to this gospel. They're our family somehow, they always will be. Just like the Jews somehow mysteriously were chosen by God, and they have a special place, and we have to pray for them. We have to love the people of Israel. But it doesn't mean that anything's automatic. We love our biological families. We love them. We care for them. We call them. We try to show them that just because I'm living a brand new way of life, which has changed everything in our life, doesn't mean that you're any different to me, that I love you. And in fact, this relationship now has the capacity to really expand, really explode, if you will allow it to. That's one of our choices, right? And believe me, I know your pain, but just think of the pain. Think of the pain of how many saints, just read the lives, you know, St. Catherine, St. Barbara, the martyrs who were killed by their own parents, persecuted and killed by their own spouses, by their own parents, by their own families. It hasn't changed, has it, you know? Because when we change, here's the bottom line. It threatens. You don't even have to say a word. You don't even have to say a word. But it threatens their way of life. Because now they feel pressured. Like, do I now have to do all of these things? Just because you're doing it? No. But they see something different. Many times they see, you know, like, you're serious about this way of life. You're serious about things that extend beyond this life. It's almost easier to meet new people, isn't it? After you're Orthodox. It's almost easier because then everything's on the table right then. But what about the people that have always known us? I've seen it even in the church. Like people came into the church together, right? And let's say one of the family became very serious, very fast, and kind of wanted to do everything, and the other one said, oh, whoa, wait, what's going on? We're not changing that much, are we? This is just... And then you have a split in the family from two that came into the church. Amazing. The enemy knows how to work his, you know, diabolical craziness on us. So as I ponder the people in this church, I want you to remember, because you may need to strengthen your own children or somebody, your godchildren, who knows, that yes, you do still have a family. I mean, we don't cut ourselves off from the world. We're not like a cult or something. But when you become Orthodox Christian, and especially, my gosh, like Father Daniel mentioned it yesterday, like this is a special parish. No matter what, in spite of us, how's that? In spite of you, this is a special place. And I know you care for each other. And I know you actually do care, physically even, for each other, to do things for each other, and want to be in each other's lives, and that's a blessing. You don't get that in every Orthodox parish in the world, I think, right? I don't think you see that, everywhere, at least. So, don't lose that. Don't trade that for anything. Don't trade down to say, well, in order to satisfy my family, you know, like my parents, my spouse, God forbid. It's hard, my dears, it's hard when the most intimate relationships in our life, sometimes the very people we live with, conflict with the deepest part of our life, which is not only what we believe, but what we celebrate, who we are as children of Jesus Christ. So, probably most of our families in this parish suffer from that. You know, we don't have too many completely ethnic people who have gone down through the generations, but even there's similar problems. They just come out in a different way. Because sometimes it happens, isn't it true, that our sons and daughters, even after they're raised in this way, they reject it. They throw it off. They say, well, that's nice for you, Dad, Mom, but I have found a better way, you know, and I'm going to raise my family a different way. This is painful. This is This is something that we try to prevent with our way of life. But when I say way of life, I mean mostly with our love. We raise our children, you know, to love Christ. And at some point, 13, 14, 16, 18, 20, whatever age it is, we have to hand them off. We have to say, no longer are you dependent on me. Now, I would like you to be dependent on God. Dependent on the Lord, rather than dependent on some substance or some career or some person out in the world that's going to like drag you down. That's a big transition. To release them from being dependent on us to being dependent on God. Because they can't be dependent on us forever. That's also kind of a sickness, you know. So please, my beloved, don't despair. I guess that's the bottom line that Christ even said when they said, look, blessed is the womb that bore you. Or when they shouted out to him, your mother and your brothers are here. You know, like, same kind of thing. He was always distinguishing between the kingdom of heaven and this life. If my family wants the kingdom of heaven, they can come with me. You know, they can struggle with me. We can be co-strugglers, husbands and wives, and raising our children. And beautiful if we have our parents, our brothers and sisters, you know. My Irish grandmother, can I talk about her? God rest her soul. My Irish grandmother, when she found out we were going to become Orthodox Christian, I mean, you know the situation in Ireland, right? Ireland, you're either this or this, but you're not Orthodox. So I told her we were going to become Orthodox, away from the Roman Catholic Church. And she said, you are becoming a rank Protestant. And she focused on the word rank. You are becoming a rank Protestant. And then I explained, you know. So I tried to talk too much, I guess. I explained. And you know what she got out of the further explanation? She said, well, then you are becoming a rank atheist. So I gave up. But now I pray, you know, like every time I even do prayers on the altar, I pray for her. You know? It's not about trying to get the world to understand us, you know? They never will. They will either try to experience Christ with us, right? Or, I can't say this any other way, they will be against us somehow. And they will try subtle things, you know, what do they call it in the modern, passive-aggressive things in our life. They will not speak to us for a long period of time. They will get on the phone and blah, blah, blah. They will write us nice, seemingly beautiful letters that have poison in the middle of them. Anything to get us away from Christ. Or no, maybe they don't even think like that. Anything to get us to look at them. What about me? Like, we become Christian, and they say, well, what about me? How come now you don't pay much attention to me anymore? You see the source of things? It's these earthly relationships which go against Christ. You can have a million earthly relationships, and all of them filled with the joy of the Lord. Just don't stop being, or pretend to be something else. Don't stop being an Orthodox Christian for the sake of some relationship, you know? I'll close with this. We didn't name Sebastian after St. Sebastian. We named him after a priest friend of ours that was at St. Tikhon's. But when you read the life of St. Sebastian, when I first read it, I said, oh my gosh. St. Sebastian was such an inspiration. He was a martyr, you know, in the early church. But he went to visit in the prison one time two brothers, Marcus and Marcellinus. And he went to visit them after they had been visited by their own parents. I mean, their real biological parents, who were not Christian. And the father, like, pointed to his gray hairs. And he said, son, for the sake of the gray hairs of your father who raised you and taught you, please, just deny Christ. Basically, just a little bit. Just deny him a little bit. How do you deny Christ a little bit? Just like put one little piece of incense in front of the emperor's statue. And you can go free, and then we'll be a family again. Oh my gosh. See that temptation? Then we can be a family again. And then the mother, she said, and these breasts, same like the gospel, and these breasts which nursed you, I beseech you on behalf of those breasts which gave you life-giving milk. Please, just come home to us. Do whatever you have to do just to come home to us. Both brothers, this was on the eve of their execution, both brothers were convinced. They were all weeping. You can imagine. They're all crying. They're like falling all over, like in tears. And they said, okay, we'll do it. We'll do it. And St. Sebastian comes in the middle of the night, like, you know, deep dawn. The church uses that expression, deep dawn. And he comes in and says, are you out of your mind? St. Sebastian, this is the real father. This is the real father. He says, are you out of your mind? You're going to trade real life, eternal life, the life that God gave you in the first place. You're going to trade that for father's hairs and mother's milk? You know, because they told him everything like this. He said, don't do it, brothers. And he pleaded with them. And then they're in tears again, you know. All. And they said, okay. And that is what gave them the resolve. That's what gave them the resolve to go to their martyrdom the next day. But do you see how fuzzy it is? How easy it is to get kind of turned around a little bit just by hearing the words of your parents or your children or whoever? God forbid we get turned around. God forbid, like, we let those kinds of strong but temporary influences change who we are. Don't stop being who you are. Love each other. When you have a problem with your children, with your family, okay, you have each other. You have godparents here. And if you don't, get adopt one. And just stay close to each other, because you know what? If you look around and if you talk to each other, you'll see we all have something like this. Those of us who are converts, you know, later in life. And in this case, I would say, blessed are you if you live all by yourself and you don't have any family. Because I know some people are struggling with being all alone and lonely too. But my gosh, can you imagine this? This is like another cross that we have to carry. Talk about the cross coming up today. So good strength. You pray for your family with tears every day. And maybe you'll be blessed like I was blessed. My mother converted after 16 years. And I didn't say a word to her. I couldn't, because she would holler at me. But by the 16th year, they called me up. She was in New Jersey. And she said, would you like to come and become an Orthodox? Come on, how did this happen? Right? And so may you have that kind of blessing. But even if you don't, right? To the day you die, you pray for your dear ones. You pray for your loved ones with a lot of joy and tears. And beg the Lord for the mercy, because literally, it's like when he went up on the cross. Forgive them. Lord, they don't know what they're doing. We really have to pray that. We really have to believe that. And that'll allow us to take them and put them here in our heart. And not focusing on the fighting all the time. And the things they're saying to us. And about our church. And about whatever. We take them as people. With all their warts and problems. And we put them here. And get rid of all the spots and the blemishes. That's the best shot for them to come into the kingdom of heaven. And it certainly is your best approach. Anything else, it's kind of sinful, right? It's fallen. It's earthly. This is the heavenly way. This is the beautiful way. This is your way. Amen.